Greetings, greetings, greetings. You are now tuned in to No Pork and All Pearls, a podcast for manifestation, a podcast for self-actualization, and a podcast that equips you with the tools to live your life by design and not by default. I want to take this time to give thanks to the originators, the ancestors, because if it was not for them, there would be no me. I want to take time to give thanks to all of the light workers and all who give the ultimate sacrifice for the upliftment of humanity and as the sacrifice of themselves. And I want to take time to give thanks to each and every one of you, the listeners. It's because of you that I do this. And not just you who are listening now, but for those of you who will come in the future, seeking for the information to heal our nation. I am so grateful to be back after quite some time and a long hiatus. And it was a period of time where you basically have to understand the times and gauge the time that we're in. And me, I don't produce content for any type of compensation as far as trying to receive anything. I don't release content because I just feel like I want to vent, or I feel like I just want to get some things off of my chest. I release content for the purpose of uplifting humanity. And with so many that's out right now who are feeling the call, or they're feeling inspired to want to share information, and they want to give information, or so be it, the market is pretty much flooded. There are many, many podcasts and many Patreon accounts and many YouTube pages and many different avenues to really receive information right now. So with so much information being put out, there's not a void of individuals giving information. So if you got so many people that's supposedly doing the work, then there's no need for me to just try to put out information. However, as I think many people are now finding, that just because individuals are putting out information or giving information doesn't mean that it's accurate information, doesn't mean that it's information that you can actually utilize for your benefit, or not even just your benefit, but for the benefit of uplifting humanity. Now, it's quite amazing to me in the times that we're in, where this is a perfect opportunity for individuals to come together as collectives and to start uniting and start working together for common causes. But it's quite the opposite that I'm witnessing. I'm seeing more division and more individuals arguing amongst themselves and finding fault within each other and pointing fingers of who's right and who's wrong. And many people are perishing because they're not able to truly grasp the concept of unity. And Unity in the midst of diversity is the call for this time, the call for this hour, the call for this moment. And the only moment that we have is the moment of now. Right now is our moment. And what we do with our moment of now determines what type of moments we will experience in the future. So, I always stick to the science, and I stick to truth, and I stick to facts. Now, real quick, there is a difference between facts and truth. There's a difference between facts and truth. Let me give an example. All of the different children across the land are exposed to different folklore, different tall tales, or different myths of certain characters. You have animation, or some people call them cartoons. So you have different type of cartoon characters. You have fictitious characters such as Santa Claus and Easter bunnies, tooth fairies, different things like that. And in many of the children's mind and in the children's heart, many of them believe in some of these characters. Many of them believe in comic book characters. Many of them believe in Santa Claus. Many of them believe in tooth fairies. These things are facts. It's a fact that children can identify Santa Claus. They can identify Superman. They can identify Batman. They can identify Spider-Man. They can identify tooth fairies. They can identify these things. If you place photos on a table and you ask them to point to them, many of the children could actually identify these characters. Now, the truth is these characters are not real. These characters do not exist. These characters are not in the reality verse. Because, you know, you have like the multiverse now and metaverses and all these type of things now. I choose to deal with the reality. I choose to deal with my reality. My reality is in a place in the space of things seen and unseen. Things that internally I focus on and I visualize and I desire. And I take these things from internal places within me. And I do the work until I can physically see these things. So I can physically and tangibly touch these things and taste these things and feel these things and hear these things and smell these things. I make them a reality for me. I've done that ever since I can remember back to my early stages of human development. maybe around ages 6, 7, when I was told to make a wish, blow out your candles. I've learned, don't ever blow out your candles. You're dealing with candle magic. And when you're dealing with candle magic, when you're blowing it, it's like you're blowing away your intention. You want to harness that energy and you want to allow it to burn out. You want to allow it to burn out. You don't want to blow it out. So that's something I learned later. I didn't know that in my earlier stages of human development. However, as I matriculated through the University of Life or the School of Hard Knocks, these things became more clear to me on how to operate and how to do certain things. So as I understood that it was a science to actually desiring something, thinking on it really hard, and so-called making a wish, and actually receiving these things, I've done that unconsciously for the earlier periods of my life, and consciously since, I would say, 2006. 2006 was my awakening. That was a period where I began to start manifesting things for myself. So since 2006, I've been actively manifesting the things that I want to see in my life and living my life with intentions and by design. I have been designing the life that I want to live. And sometimes when I design the life that I want to live, some of the things when I receive them, I agree with it and I embrace it and I enjoy it. But then some of the things I receive, I realize that this is not something that I want to sustain and this is really not what I thought that it would be. So I release it. So it's been a constant cycle of bringing things in, basically seeing the things that fit for me and discarding the things that are no longer a fit for me or the things that does not fit for me. So that's been a ongoing process, and it's always going to be an ongoing process. And when we realize the power that we possess to really manifest things in and out of our life, and we take control of the manifestation process, we'll find that our life will be so much fulfilling, so much more fulfilling than it was in periods and times when we were unconsciously manifesting things or allowing others to manifest things in our lives on our behalf, because we basically gave away our birthright to take control of our life and we acquiesced to someone else who we felt had a better grasp or a better motive or objective for our life than we had for ourselves. But tonight, we're going to have a very, very, very great episode tonight, and this is something that I really feel that I really need to bring forth and I need to share with the people, because I'm seeing a lot of things right now that's going on that's causing the people to be divided and to pretty much take sides, you know. And it's really not about taking a side. It's about being able to step back and observe, make observations, and seeing the beauty of the things that we have before us. And when we see the things that we have before us, we can see those things that we gravitate towards and those things that we want to be with or a part of. And we can also see those things that we don't want to be with and we don't want to be a part of. And it's not for anyone to force anyone to assimilate into anyone's custom, into anyone's tradition, or into anyone's train of thought or belief, because it makes other people feel more secure, or it makes them feel more comfortable. That's not really how the ancestors designed this thing and they laid the things out. But tonight, our topic is going to be the triune God. The triune God. And I'm going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to reset and we're going to really break this concept of the triune God down, because I think that it's going to really help a lot of people going forward in the future to truly gain an understanding of what that concept is all about. So stay tuned to No Pork and All Pearls, and we will be back. And we're back to No Pork and All Pearls, and tonight we're discussing the concept of the triune God. Now, before anybody turns this podcast off or they say, oh, here we go, talking about this religious church stuff, I just want you to understand that you're listening to No Pork and All Pearls. And this is not a religious podcast. We're not talking about dogma. We're not talking about any type of doctrine. We're not talking about any of that. What we're talking about is we're talking about science. And science means to know. Science simply means to know. And we're basically gaining understanding on what these terms are actually all about. And we go back to the origin. We go back to the origin, and I come at it with a pure motive, and I come at it from a pure understanding. When these concepts were established, and when these concepts were first created, the incarnation that I'm in right now, I wasn't there. I wasn't there. So I don't come at it from an angle of this was created for so-called good, or this was created for so-called bad. I don't know, I've told you many times that that's not something that I buy into. I don't buy into the concepts of good and bad. But what I do buy into is the concept of agreeable and disagreeable. Agreeable and disagreeable. Some things are agreeable with me and with my reality. Some things are disagreeable with me and with my reality. And I would encourage others to take the same stance and to learn what are the things that are agreeable with you and for you in your reality. And what are some of the things that's disagreeable with you and within your reality? Because it's only in that where you start to be able to navigate your life in the way in which you desire for it to go. Because as long as you stay under the bondage of these certain concepts and what certain people have told you that things mean and what things are all about, you're going to always be living in a box, or you're going to be living in a cage. You're going to be in bondage. You're going to be trapped. You're going to be trapped to argue points, or you're going to be trapped to stand on squares about certain things that you feel passionate about and hold on to it, even when right in front of your face are right before your eyes. These things are not making sense, or these things are crumbling, or these things are not serving you. And if you're forced to hold on to things that's not serving you, then that's not going to be a good situation for you. But I digress, because like I said, what we're talking about is the triune God. Now, the first thing that we want to do is we want to distinguish that triune and Trinity are two separate words. Triune and Trinity are two separate words. Now, Trinity is a term that's used by modern day religion, by the church, the Council of Nicaea. Those establishments laid out the format for how the Trinity was to be explained and what the Trinity was, and they teach you about the Trinity. This is not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the Trinity. What I am talking about is the triune. And the triune is a word. And the triune is a word that consists of two components. You have a prefix and you have a suffix. You have a prefix and you have a suffix. Now, see, now we're going to science, and we're using science, and we're utilizing the science of words, and we're breaking down components of words. Now, the two components of the word is tri, T-R-I, and that's a Latin term. So that's the origin of the term, tri, and it basically means three. So tri means three. This can be proven when you see the thing called the trident. The trident is a three-pronged fork. Trident. Many people use that when they paint so-called portraits of a devil, and the devil is always holding this so-called pitchfork with three prongs, and it's called a trident. So we also can remember the tricycle or tricycle. Tricycle was the little bike that many of us were able to ride when we were toddler ages, and we were probably like in our early stages of human development. And it was three wheels. It was one wheel in the front, and it was two wheels in the back. And that's called a tricycle. It's tri, the prefix tri means three. So we can prove that. That's science. That's something that I can know. It's something that you can know. It's something that we don't have to debate. It's something that we don't have to dispute. It's not something that's way up in the clouds in the cosmos that happened before the establishment of time. And it's not something that's so far away out of our reach that we can't find evidence to. So I just want us to hold on to that. Try. And then you have the suffix of un or unus. It comes from the Latin root unus. How do you spell unus? Unus is spelled UNUS. 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 And unus means one. If you look at the language of Spanish, one is uno, 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 and unus is the same word. Understand that vowels are interchangeable. Vowels are interchangeable. So you can take a O out and replace it with a U. You can also put in a I. Uni, Una with an A. Uni with an E. Hence, you get the un part of triune. U-N-E. Triune. So, you have the suffix unus, and you have the prefix tri. And both of these are from Latin origin. They come from Latin. This is how you get the term triune. Triune is a translation from triunus. And the components of triunus simply means three and one. Three and one. Now, if you look the word up, triune, if you look it up in the dictionary, triune as an adjective is stating three in one, or of or relating to the Trinity, the God. That's how it's written in the dictionary. Also, another version of triune in the dictionary. Now, this is the connotative meaning. Meaning this is what is understood by most, by the majority, by the populace. It says Trinity. That's what it said. But if you look within the brackets, this is how you do science on words. When you go within the bracket and you get to the origin. Because understand, triune is a translation. When you go to the brackets and you see the Latin and it says tri, and it has a plus, and it has unus, and it has one. Tri plus unus is one. That's key. It's not saying three in one. Three in one was a translation. Three in one was a translation. Triune means three and one. Three and one. Where am I going with this? We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to really dive deeper into this whole concept of triune God on no pork and all pearls. And we're back to no pork and all pearls. And in the last segment, we basically established that triune is not the same as Trinity. Triune and Trinity are two separate concepts. Whereas the church has taken the term Trinity and made a doctrine out of it, and they've given you this understanding of what they believe a Trinity is, that's not the same thing as what triune is. Now, triune, we need to first understand the components of triune. What are the three components of triune? Okay, so the components of triune is we have masculine, we have feminine, and then we have manifestation. We have masculine, we have feminine, and then we have manifestation. Now, if you're familiar with the concept of Trinity, they talk about the Father, the Son, and then they say the Holy Spirit. That's what many people have been taught. Now, as many people have advanced, many people realize that, no, it's not Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's Mother, it's Father, and it's Child. It's Mother, his Father, and his Child. And I'm not going to say that they're wrong, because that does apply. That absolutely applies when we're talking about the understanding of triune. But that's only relating to human development and childbirth and a family. It's talking about a family. It's talking about a mother and a father, and they create a child. So that is definitely a demonstration of what triune is all about. However, that's not the depth of what triune is all about. That's not the depths of what triune is all about. The triune concept is an equation. The triune concept is an equation, and it's an equation for God. It's an equation for God. What is God when I'm speaking of God? God is generator, operator, and destroyer. It's an acronym. Generator, operator, destroyer. Or God is the creator, right? Someone who creates. Or something that creates. See, the problem, many people have always taken the concept of God and personified it as a man. Some have even personified it as a woman. That's the God. Or the gods with the S. The men and women, that's what they call them, men and women. But this is not my understanding of what I've learned of what the concept of God is. The concept of God is explained with the formula of triune. See, triune God is triune on one side. You have your equal sign in between, and you have God on the opposite side, which brings balance to the equation. Triune equals God. Triune equals God. What are you saying? What do you mean by triune equals God? First, we must understand that God is not a someone. God is a something. God is a something. God is a process. God is a process. It's something that happens. It's something that happens. It's a process of what? Creation. It's a process of creation and creating. Now, as I stated earlier, the components of the triune is masculine, feminine, and manifestation. Now, manifestation would be at the bottom. And when you have the manifestation at the bottom, at the top would be on the left. You would have feminine. And on the right, you would have masculine. So you have left, feminine, right, masculine. And they'll be on an equal plane. It'll be on an equal plane, but on two different sides. Feminine, masculine. Each at the end of the spectrum, or on that plane, on an equal balance, or equal balance, masculine and feminine. And when they come together, when they meet, they're two poles. When they meet coming down at a slant. Both comes down at a slant where they both connect in the middle. The two forces, the masculine force and the feminine force, they both combine in the middle of the plane, not on the same plane that they're on, but they both launch out, or they both expel or express their energies. Both energies are expressed, and it comes forth or it comes out, and it goes down. Both sides go down, and they come down at an angle. And when they come down at that angle and they connect and they combine, they create a manifestation. They create the manifestation. The manifestation is the creation of the masculine and the feminine energy coming together. The masculine and the feminine energy coming together and combining to create a manifestation. Now, this is a science, and it also forms a triangle. This is why when you see many photographs, when they are talking about the Trinity, you have it in a triangular shape. You see it in a triangular shape when they're talking about the Trinity. But the triune is a triangle as well. It forms a triangle because it's the combination of the masculine and the feminine energy coming together to create a manifestation. This is the whole process of God, of creation, of creating. But it's not just in creating children or creating babies. That's not what it's all about. That's a demonstration of it. That's why when you look at sex, the word sex, S-E-X, or spinal energy excretion, sex. Sex is represented by the number six. Sex is represented by the number six. Six and sex are pretty much the same. Six and sex is pretty much the same. Why would I say that? Because the vowels are interchangeable. I's and E's are vowels. You can interchange those. That's why your sixth chakra is your sacral chakra. And it's the chakra that's responsible for your sexual energy. Six. It's six. But why is it six? Six is you got two manifestations. You have two manifestations coming together, bringing their two forces together. You have two manifestations coming together, bringing their forces together. And that's your six. You have energy, lots of energy involved in the whole process of sex. It's a lot of energy. And if you harness that energy correctly, you can do amazing things with it. But it's not just all about creating children. And we're not talking about sacred sex, or we're not doing that tonight. That's not what we're talking about. We're actually talking about the triune, which is God, which is a process. We're talking about that. And to get back to that whole topic, when you understand that it's a formula, triune God is a formula, it's a formula of creation, you understand that when you're manifesting things, anything, You use this formula to create. You must use a balance of the masculine and the feminine energy to create your manifestations. Even when we deal with your brain, and you talk about your left brain and the right brain. Well, left brain and right brain, that's masculine and it's feminine. You need to use both of those things, your masculine and your feminine energy, to create. I'm always talking about mind science and manifesting things using your mind. You always have to use your mind. But you also need to use your heart and your desire. Your heart is the fire, that will. The will comes from your desire. That's your fire within you. That's the fire that burns deep within you. You need to place that desire to fuel whatever it is that you're trying to manifest. Now, fire is always equated to masculine energy. When we're dealing with fire, fire is masculine energy. Notice I'm not saying male and female. I'm saying masculine and feminine. Masculine is an active force. Masculine is an active force. And feminine, we've been taught, is a receiving force or a receptive force. It's not weak. It's not dormant. It's a receiving force. It's almost like a water. It's almost like soil. Soil is in a position where it can receive seeds. Like, you can plant seeds within the soil, but the soil produces the plants. When you plant the seed in the soil springs up the plant. So it's nothing weak about soil, but the same thing goes with water. Water is a receptive force, but is also a very powerful force. Water cannot be contained. Water cannot be contained in its natural form. And when you find a natural source of water, you can't stop it from flowing. What you can do is you can alter it. You can alter the direction. You can place up things to kind of divert the flow in different directions. But you cannot stop it from flowing. It's going to continue to flow. Even though many people create dams and they create levees and they create all type of things to try to stop the flow of the water, they can't stop the water from flowing. Because now, when you place opposition against the water, you just increase the force of the water. You make the water more forceful. So, water is a very powerful force, just as fire is a very powerful force. Now, the key is to harness those forces so that you can utilize them for your benefit, and that you can allow it to work for you. You want to allow these energies to work for you. Now, as I stated, that your desire and your heart, that's your fire. That's that masculine. So what's the feminine? The feminine is your thoughts. It's your words. When you speak, you're utilizing air and you're utilizing water with your words. And in your mind, the thoughts flow just like water. You can't control the thoughts that come into your mind. What you can do is you can be an observer of your thoughts. You can make observations of your thoughts. And you can choose to hold on to certain thoughts, or you can release certain thoughts. But the thoughts are flowing just like water. It flows just like water. It's your thoughts. So all that is a component of your mind and how your mind works and your mental. So the mental, along with your desire and your fire within inside of you, your fire and desire, your heart, your will, when you allow those two forces to work together, you can create manifestations. You can create manifestations. Now, that's the whole concept of the triune. This is not what I think or I believe. This is based on the understanding of what that word breaks down. You have three and one. Three and one, not three and one. Three plus one. Three plus one, or it's a three equals one. The tri equals one. The one manifestation is the combination of the masculine, the feminine, and the validation that the masculine and the feminine has created is the manifestation. There can be no God without a creation. There can be no God without a creation. To be God, you must create something, because God is the creator. It's a creative force. It's a creative energy. So what I'm saying is, when masculine and feminine come together and they create a manifestation, that was a process of God. You just witnessed the process of God because you see the manifestation. If there's no manifestation, then there was no God process. Just because two beings come together and they put their energy together, if they don't manifest something, or if they're not creating something, then that's not God. God is a creation process. God is the creation process. And as I stated, God is generator, operator, destroyer. So the same way, you can create something that's serving you, or you can create something that's building. You can also create something that destroys, or you can create something that tears down, or you can create something that harms, because it's not a good or bad. It's an energy, and the energy can be used in agreeable ways and can be used in disagreeable ways. So that's what we have to understand. It's an energy. It's an energy that's used. You want to be in the middle. You want to be in that place where you can be the operator and use these things for your benefit. You want to utilize these things for your best life, or utilize these things for your best outcome. Now, just because something is agreeable for you doesn't mean that it's agreeable for the collective or agreeable for the whole. Sometimes you can find yourself in a place where you have everything that you want, but if the ones around you are in destitute, or if the ones around you are not in a position where they can prosper, it's going to be really hard for you to be able to enjoy your things in an environment where no one else around you have anything. This is why, when we get an understanding that to whom much is given, much is required, meaning that you have choices to make. You have a choice. You have an opportunity to empower others around you and to help them, or you can hoard. You can hoard it all for yourself and live a life of misery and not be able to enjoy these things because you're constantly looking over your shoulders, or you're being envied, or you're in a position where others around you are conspiring against you. You understand? So you have to understand. You have to understand the importance of utilizing your power in a way in which it could enrich the environment. You want to enrich the environment, and you want to make the environment better. You want to make the environment better. You don't want to make the environment chaotic, and you don't want to make the environment in a way in which people around you are placed in positions where they're going to suffer for your benefit. They're suffering on your behalf because you're getting everything and you're gaining so much, and they're losing everything and they're giving up so much just to be able to sustain your lifestyle and keep you going and keep you afloat. That's not the path. That's not the way. Because many individuals that find themselves in that position and they're being elevated on the back of all these other people, and they're becoming their God instead of allowing individuals to learn to be God in their own life, meaning creators in their own life. Let me say that. I'm not talking about a supreme being that rules over everybody and everything. That's not what I'm talking about. I hope I've explained it clear enough for what I mean by triune and God, and that it's a process and it's something that's to be done. It's not something, it's not someone, it's something that is done. Masculine and feminine coming together to create a mass, create a manifestation. That's God. That's God. And that's why it's three and one. Not in and three and one. Three forces, one manifestation. The one manifestation contains the masculine and the feminine energy. That's what makes it work. That's what makes it operate. The masculine and the feminine gives it life. It makes it a functioning thing. But you can't have the one without the two, meaning the masculine and the feminine components. Both components are necessary in the process to create the manifestation. But when you create that manifestation, that's your whole process of what it means to be God. That's a creation process. That's creation. And you can't have creation with two masculines. You can't have creation with two feminine. It doesn't work that way. It has to be feminine and masculine coming together to form the manifestation. Because every feminine and masculine that comes together doesn't create a manifestation. Sometimes certain energies don't match. Certain masculine and feminine energies does not match. And sometimes when you try to place two energies that are not in alignment, when they're not in alignment and you're trying to create something and it doesn't create, that's because those energies weren't in alignment. So they missed the mark. They didn't meet in the middle. They missed. And that's why it wasn't creating. It wasn't something that was meant to create, because those energies never collided in the middle. They never met. So hope someone learned something in this episode. And once again, you know, I thank everyone who listens and give me the opportunity to share this information. And, you know, I'm not here trying to create some type of a cult. I'm not here trying to gain people to exhort me or to say I'm right or to prove somebody else is wrong. I'm just giving you information to heal our nation, because it's the time now for a lot of that other stuff to stop. All the confusion, all the misinformation, it has to be put down. It's a statement that says, when I was a child, I did childish things. But once I became a man, I put away those childish things. So, understand that when you get into a mastery position of your life, and you get into a place where now you are starting to see things clearly, a lot of things that no longer serve you, you got to put those things down. And you must learn to pick up the things that do serve you. And this is something that can be utilized by anyone, anywhere, at any point in time. This whole concept of this triune God concept is a concept of manifestation. It's the concept of the masculine and the feminine coming together to create a manifestation. So if you were to say masculine, feminine manifestation, that's the triune. Now you can say mother, father, man, but see, when you say mother, father, man, then you demonize the concept of man and what man is all about. Man is not male. Man is master, able, and noble. And the feminine can be master, able, and noble. And the masculine can be masculine, able, and noble. The only difference is the feminine, when they're master, able, and noble, they're the womb man, or the man with the womb. The womb man. Of course, they call it woe man. But it's womb man. It's the womb man. And the masculine man, or the masculine master, able and noble, you call them men. They're men. They become men. However, in the concept of the triune, when you're saying mother, father, man, you're basically saying man as short for manifestation. So a lot of the ancestors, when they were saying that, they were saying man for manifestation, but it was giving it a shortened version. But the times that we're in now, we need clarity, and we need to be precise with the things that we say and the words that we use. So that's why I returned it back to what it's stating, and it's stating manifestation. So masculine, feminine manifestation, that's the triune principle, and that's the concept of the triune God. So thank you so much for tuning in tonight, and hopefully I'll be back soon with another episode. But if I don't be back for a while and you don't hear from me, just know that I appreciate each and every one of you. I love you with all the depths of my soul. I truly do. I don't have to know you to love you. I love you because I'm part of you. We're all one. I'm not separate from you, and you're not separate from me. So if I'm hearing you, it's because I'm a part of you. And if you're hearing me, it's because I'm a part of you. So until next time, I want to leave you with peace. I want to leave you with love, and I want to leave you with shalom.